And welcome back, footy fans, to another episode of Donnie's Disposals. I am your host, Coach Donnie Hess, here back with another podcast. And today, ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special guest. We've been covering the Waffle, we've been covering the Sample, we've been covering the VFL, we've been covering AFL. But as you guys know, I am a coach up here and I love chatting with coaches. And I have a very, very special guest, a very good friend of mine, the recently hired and head coach of the senior women's team at the Norwood Football Club, Mr. Brad Farrell. Brad, great to see you, sir.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Fantastic, fantastic. And for those of you that listen to the podcast and left, yes, this is Allie Farrell's husband and a good friend of mine. Absolutely love this gentleman, but I thought you want to know what? We've had Allie on. Let's have Brad on. So before we hop into the footy part about it, this, I know this is a footy podcast. Let's know a little bit about you personally outside of the game of football.
I've sort of football hasn't become my life until probably the last 5 or 6 years. Before that, my main sporting interest was actually another American, not another, an American sport that's pretty big over there with sprint car racing. So that sort of been my life growing up, and my dad raced and then ran teams, and two of my best mates race sprint cars, so I helped them out. And that's certainly been my biggest sporting probably life. I mean, I've always loved them equally. It's like having two children, I guess. You don't know which one's your favorite, or you don't have a favorite, but that's certainly one that probably got more of my time for most of my life. But now it's certainly football, which has always been there, but just probably invested more of my time into Speedway. So, but yeah, apart from that, I'm just a massive sports nerd. There's not too many sports I don't enjoy, and I love watching AFL and SANFL and pretty much any level of footy, and I still play a little bit. C grade footy, which is a bit of fun. So, yeah, no, it's good. So, I was a school teacher, qualified school teacher, and I do a bit of work with training staff and my own tutoring business as well, which keeps me busy.
Fantastic, fantastic. A busy man you are, but there's nothing wrong with that. So let's have some fun. This is always one of my favorite ones, especially with Aussies. What is your earliest footy memory?
Probably not long after the, well, the Crows came in sort of when I was 4 or 5, and watching them play, and Andrew Jarman for some reason was my favorite player as a kid, and he was certainly one that played up to the crowd, and he certainly had plenty of personality, and probably some of his antics is one of the first things I remember.
Yeah, I listened to the Rush Hour, and Jars is absolutely hilarious. So it's funny when, like I said, I was chuckling there as you said the same. I'm like, because that just went through my head. That's absolutely fantastic. So as not only a coach, but as somebody, as you said, you still play. What's your favorite part of about the sport of footy?
I just love the relationships you build with people, and like the only reason I play now is because I've got mates that play, and like I obviously enjoy it, but it's just that ability to build relationships and be around people that you obviously get along with similar interests. And I find that especially with footy, like it's such a big list and a big group of people that you always find your type of person or people on that list. So I just love the mateship side of it, and the friendships and building the relationships and all of that. So yeah.
All right, and I've heard this with many Australians is that when you introduce yourself, you always introduce yourself in footy states of who's your team. So I must ask, I know you're a Sample coach. Who's your Sample team and who's your AFL team that you support?
I'm pretty lucky in the fact that I grew up a Nord supporter, so get to work at the club I grew up loving in the Sample, and that's a pretty cool experience and a little bit surreal at times, but really cool. And Crow supporter and AFL, that's yeah, it's been they're the team that probably got me to love football. So yeah, I've always been a Crow supporter, and as frustrating as that is in the in this moment right now, I wouldn't change it, and I certainly would never consider supporting anyone else.
So I know this is, as you kind of said, when it comes to supporting your sports of sprint car racing and footy, would you consider yourself a bigger Norwood supporter or a bigger Adelaide Crows supporter?
That's really tough, and same thing with your children. I think in the moment right now, a Crows premiership would mean more to me, just with Norwood have had a fair few over the last sort of 10-15 years that I've really got to enjoy. Wouldn't say I'm a bigger Crow supporter than Norwood, but I certainly I think that premiership would mean a lot more.
Yeah, I completely understand that. And then I always love this when it comes to the family dynamic, because I know that I've talked with some that their parents were that they supported this club and in this side. So was your family Norwood supporters, or did they support anybody else?
My grandma was a massive Nord supporter, went to every game for about 40 years. So I didn't really have a choice, to be honest with you. I was just a Nord supporter, or I was disowned. So those were the two things. And funnily enough, my uncle played for North Adelaide, and she would go and barrack against him and hope that Nord would win. So she was certainly very devoted to Nord.
I got it. Okay. I always love that, because when somebody in the family defies and goes for another team, how's the banter between them? I mean, is it cordial, or does it get a little spicy?
No, I think it was pretty good. I mean, she passed away a fair few years ago now, but yeah, I think it was all right. My uncle sort of understood and probably respected the loyalty, I think.
So respectful banter, absolutely love it. So we'll go back to this. These are always fun, because I've had people that have had years and years of supporting their club. Can you remember the first item, either Norwood or Adelaide, that you were given or bought?
It was an old woolen Crows Guernsey, and it had number 2 on the back, which was Andrew Jarman at the time. So, yeah, that I certainly remember having that Guernsey, and yeah, that was the first piece of merchandise I can remember ever owning at probably 5 or 6 years of age.
Okay. All right. I never like going here, especially when the team that I'm discussing is not on its best form. But I'll ask, it's been a tough beginning to the Crows season. Can they turn it around, or are you worried that they're in trouble?
Look, I think at 0-3, it's not ideal, but the weapons that they had last year are still there. So I think they just need to get back to playing a more attacking brand of footy, where they've just been too safe and gone back into their shell. So, they're certainly in trouble at the moment, but I think there's the ability to turn it around. I mean, they're going to need to find a way to win tomorrow night just to keep a bit of heartbeat in their season. But I certainly think they can turn it around. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So we'll go into a little bit of this, because this is my favorite part. We're going to talk a little bit of coaching. Why is it that you decided to become a footy coach?
So I did a bits and pieces of it when I was teaching at a school I worked in, and I enjoyed that, but sort of work, I used to work a lot of weekends, so that wasn't an option for me. And then Ali actually was playing at Moorfield Park, which is another one of my loves as well. I ended up out there, and she did her ACL playing at in the A grade there, and they needed a B grade coach the following year, so she did it. And I just remember being a little bit under the weather from the activities of a night before, and Ali said, "Oh, I need you to come and help me today," and it was probably the last thing I what felt like doing at the time, but I really enjoyed it. And she went back to playing, I took over the B grade coaching there, and then yeah, I guess the rest was history.
Fantastic. So in just the smile as you say that is fantastic. So what's your favorite
yeah
part about coaching?
Like I said before, it's just the relationships and building those relationships with a group of 50 or 60 girls on our list, and just being able to share those interests and help them grow and develop. But I know our coaching group, we don't want to just produce good footballers, we want to produce good people as well, and just helping people through situations or whatever it might be. I mean, we've had a pretty rough pre-season, really. We've all come together with losing someone that was pretty special to our group, and yeah, I think it just reminds you that in those tough times, being around people that you build relationships and connections with, and that's certainly why I do it.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And then I'm going to kind of go off my script just the tiniest bit, almost a question without notice. Morphettville Park, I mean, it is a powerhouse. They
Oh,
win and they
absolutely.
win and they win. But you have had some names come through. Can you tell me, just are there a few AFLW players that you've had the pleasure of coaching? And just can you, if you want to humble brag a little bit about how well they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, there was a few. The St Kilda, there was a few before my time there, like Hatchie and Ebony Marinoff. I mean, I had a little bit to do with them, but I certainly wouldn't claim any of that. Eloise Jones, Denny Van Hagen, who's actually a really good friend as well. But then, yeah, Lisa Whiteley, coached her, and she's just finished up at AFL level. But Hannah Priest coached her, and she's St Kilda's captain at the moment. So certainly nothing to do with me. They were on their path to where they were going, but well before I had anything to do with them. I mean, I had a little bit to do with Parker Window, who just got drafted as well. So yeah, the list is endless through Moorfield Parker. There was a stat for a while that they had produced more AFL players than any other club in Australia, and I kind of like AFLW players, sorry, and I would think that'd still be pretty close to being true now.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. As much winning as they do, and as good a footy as I've seen from that particular from that club, it is ridiculous. But hey, kudos to you guys. That's fantastic that you're doing such a good job for women's footy, not only in South Australia but for the competition as a whole. So my thanks to you as somebody that absolutely loves the competition. So, and then we'll go to the what's the toughest part? What's probably the hardest part about being a footy coach?
Oh, there's one. The thing I'd say hate, don't even dislike, is this those tough conversations where whether it's list management at the end of a season or sending a player back to the reserves or their local comp once the reserves finish. Like, I hate doing that. It's certainly not enjoyable. I don't like don't enjoy the pain that they can give players, and yeah, I really dislike that part of the job. I mean, I know it is part of the job, but yeah, just I really hate it. So but it's got to be done. So yeah, it's just not enjoyable at all. You certainly lose sleep thinking about it.
Yeah, and the worst part is it's something that really isn't even part of the actual coaching part. It's the rigmarole that comes with it. So it's yeah, that would be frustrating to be able to sit there and tell a player, "Hey, we're gonna have to send you down." That's gotta be a hard part. So I'm gonna ask how crazy is it that as a Norwood man, you're sitting here as the head coach of the senior team? I mean, is it almost surreal at times?
It is a little bit. Sometimes you look around and think, like, this is a club I grew up loving and barracking for, and going to sort of when they won their three grand finals in a row in the men's program. I was there for all three, and then yeah, the year that I sort of came on board as an assistant last season with Matt Panos kicking a ridiculous goal that not too many people would kick on their opposite foot to win a premiership, and then you sort of walking past and saying hi to Matt Panos or any of the guys on that list that are pretty good. And yeah, it's just you can look around sometimes, and it's certainly a bit humbling to be in the inner sanctum of a club that I've always loved and will always be a part of my life.
Yeah, it's definitely fantastic. It almost it makes you a kid again, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
So
it does, absolutely.
we'll go to this year. We're four rounds in. You have a bye week this week with the gather round in town, which is it's I bet Adelaide is absolutely rocking when it comes to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your thoughts so far on this season? I know it's not you're not 4-0. It's not going gangbusters, but your thoughts on this season so far?
No, well, it's actually we've played five, so we're 3-2.
Oh, yeah.
And then, look, probably I don't think it's a secret. The weekend was our first four quarter performance, and I was really impressed. I think if we can consistently produce our four quarters of footy, we will be hard to beat. It's just we haven't been able to do that. We've just been really inconsistent within games. So our best footy has looked really good, and I think we're tracking more towards more consistent footy. Having said that, part of that's on the learning process. We're playing a fair bit differently to the way we played last year, so it does take a little bit of time to adapt, and old habits sort of take a while to get out of the system, and especially under pressure and all of that. So overall, I'm pretty happy. If you said to me that at the gather round bar we'd be sitting third, I mean, yes, we're equal sixth or fifth or whatever it is as well, but if we're the highest scoring team in the comp, which I really that's something that I'm really happy with, and that was certainly one of our goals. So yeah, we've certainly got plenty of work to do, but I'm reasonably happy with where we're sitting for the moment.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. I know I don't want to bring it up, but I'm gonna have to ask, how frustrating was that Woodville West Torrens games when you hit the one post, I believe it was like five times?
I mean, if we kick it a little bit straighter, we win the game anyway. But no, look, it was frustrating, and it's probably got to be some sort of record, I thought. Not a record that I was really chasing after at the start of a season. But yeah, you know what? Their pressure was good as well. So credit to them. As much as we hit the post, they still did a lot right and outplayed us for three quarters. So at the end of the day, we might have only lost by under a goal, but had we won, we absolutely stole it because they were very good for three quarters, and we only played that one quarter of decent footy.
Yeah, it was a good game of footy though. I remember watching that and sitting there and just riding the bumps because Narelle Smith is a very good friend of mine. I go back and forth with her, so that was one of those games that I felt like Switzerland a little bit because I don't want to cheer for either team because there are soft spots on both sides. And I was like, I was riding the wave of the entire game. I kind of went back to kid mode a little bit and just enjoyed the footy. That was a fantastic. I knew one side was probably not going to come out victors, and it always stinks, but it was such a good game of footy. And like I said, I agree with you a little bit. Norwood, if you would have kicked a goal, probably would have been a steal, but you really earned it in that fourth quarter. The ladies played absolutely fantastic. So I'll have a little bit of fun since I cover the women so much. Is there a name or two floating around that's a youngster that could be AFL level very, very soon in your ranks?
I mean, I'm very biased. I wear rose-colored glasses watching our team. The coaches take the piss out of me a little bit because I'll say that this person's the best whatever in the comp, and they certainly have a laugh at my expense. But no, I could list a fair few. Like, I think Charlie Hazelhurst is, it's not even her draft year this year, but she's really starting to click as a sample player. Kobe Morgan, it's very close to clicking for her. These are all underage girls, like under 18. Emma Daly, who we only saw for probably a quarter and a bit in round one, and then she had a syndesmosis injury. She should be back in 3 or 4 weeks. I think she's very talented as well. But then you've got your overage girls like Talita, who won the medal on the weekend. I joked with her tonight watching the reserves that she had leather poisoning from the weekend because she had the ball most of the day. But yeah, I think we've got a few others like Emily Barch, who I and they'll take the piss out of me again, but I think she's the best key defender in the sample. I think she's exceptional. And then Kiana Lee is someone that's really starting to click for as well. So I think, and I know I've missed plenty there because I think we do have a lot of girls that can push towards that AFLW. Candice Belvin, who we've got across to the club, probably if you looked at her stats on the weekend, wouldn't have thought she did much, but she did a really vital role on India Rashid, who is in my opinion, the best player in the comp at the moment. So she just, well, she still had a bit of the ball. She didn't have the 36 and kicked three goals she did the week before. So yeah, I think we've got a lot of girls that can push for that. And I know I've forgotten someone and probably forgotten multiple. But yeah, another one that's a long way off, as in time wise, is Kate Alexander. She only turned 15 during our preseason, and she's currently our number one ruck at the club at the moment. So to do that at 15, she blows me away.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just great. It's just great that all these great pathways. And I heard Charlie Hazelhurst's name from Allie last year,
Yeah.
and she goes, "Keep an eye on this one. She's a good one." And I remember coming in
Yes, she is.
late last year, and I was like, "She was impressive. She was very, very impressive with what I saw." And I'm like, "She's going to be fun to watch grow." Kobe Morgan's another one that I've had interactions with her, and I thought I love the move to the wing for her. I think that lets her use her speed. So I cannot wait to see her develop some more, and it's awesome. Bamford, one of your midfielders, has been fantastic for us. As small as she is, she's very,
Yes,
very. I
yeah.
love watching her play because she's a little bulldog. I agree with you. Talita Boothke is another one. Tashana Marr is another one that I absolutely
Yeah.
love watching her play. Shai Hiscock, with everything that she's been through, has been
Yeah.
fantastic. Love watching her play and her energy that she brings. There's a lot of young ladies on that Norwegian side that I love watching play footy. So you were very, very lucky when it comes to it. I think you have a very good group of players there. So we'll go to the professionals just the tiniest bit. As a Crow supporter, you keep track of some of the ones that have went through Morphettville. Your thoughts on AFLW last year, because the second year of all the expansion teams, scoring was up. The season was really, really good. Crows fall just a little bit short of making it to a grand final. How good is it as a senior women's coach that you're seeing the elite competition getting better and better each year?
Yeah, it's great. I think all competitions are getting better and better every year, and the AFL is obviously on the end of that. No, I love it, and I certainly turned back into a fan watching the Crows play. And we do have a bit of a joke with the Port girls that we've had Saatchi and Molly back for the first part of the season there, and I certainly remind them that I love them, but I'm certainly still a Crows supporter. And I think Nat, they had a bit of a laugh after the last game the other day, where Saatchi said something about Port Adelaide and how they should go for them, and then I think Naj followed up with something along the lines of "That's not what the stats suggest." So it's all good fun. But yeah, absolutely, I'm a massive fan of the Crows, and in both the men and women, and that's always going to be the case.
And the thing that I love about it is that the playful banter, but it's been so much fun. Like I said, it's going to take a little bit for, I think, Port Adelaide to kind of even up those showdowns. But when they do, man, they're going to be so much fun. Cause I have to say this, the South Australians have really wrapped their arms around the AFLW, because Port fans are coming out in droves out in Alberton, and the Adelaide Crows at your home spot in Norwood have been absolutely so well supported. So it's going to be so much fun to see. We'll go to it. I know this is your first year as a Norwood coach, and again, I'm jumping the shark majorly here, but just for fun, would you be interested in becoming an AFLW coach?
I mean, I'm not going to say no, but that's certainly a long way off for me. I've got a lot of work to do before that's even a consideration or something to even think about. But oh, absolutely, that's something I'd love to do. But at the end of the day, that's light years away for me.
No, I completely understand. So it's always so much fun. I remember when I had Sam Jacobs, I asked the same question, and he basically said the same thing. He says, "My focus is here now." He goes, "If that happens," he goes, "I'll address it when it comes up." So I thought I'd have a little fun, because I know some people, they're always looking to the next one, but it's a really good spot at Norwood. So I think you're going to be, I think it'll be just fine. So I love this, especially considering you're working with AFLW players and you're around the Norwood club that, like I said, have had AFL players come through. Best advice you could give a young footballer who aspires to be an AFL or AFLW player going forward in the future?
Do the work. It doesn't matter how much talent you've got. If you're not going to put in the work, it's not going to happen for you. And that's even the same with playing league level sample footy now. If you're not going to work hard, it's just not going to happen for you. So putting in the work, the talent doesn't work unless you do. So that's the biggest thing for me. Like, we've got a young girl, Elkie Cameron, at the moment that does extras with Nash every week, and just wants to be the best she can be. And she's another one that's only just 15, but I can guarantee you'll probably see her name on an AFL list in 3 or 4 years as well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So I'm going to have a little bit of fun. You've coached 5 games. You haven't seen all of the teams yet on the board, but I want you to have a little bit of fun. If you could, say, mid-season draft, snatch up a player. So say all the other clubs in the SANFLW have opened up. You can steal one player from the competition to add to Norwood to give you that little bit of boost to maybe make finals this year. Who would that one player be and why?
For one season, it'd be India Rashid at the moment. She's in unbelievable form. She's doing some really special things. I mean, that'd be a hypothetical, because you'd have her for 1 year. As obviously an under 18, she'll be South Australia's first pick in the draft. So I'd imagine Port will end up with her, because I can't see a world on which they finish on top of Adelaide this year. So she'll be off to them. But if I was looking outside of that and for players over the age of 18, Jess Bates, the fact she's not on an AFLW list actually blows my mind. She's unbelievably good. And I just look at some of the clubs that are down the bottom, and the reason they're down the bottom is because they don't take players like Jess Bates. Like, some of the players they pick over her, it's actually embarrassing. But she's unbelievable as well. So she's another one that I'd take.
Yeah, I will echo you on that one. I watched her play in the VFLW last year for Collingwood.
Yeah.
and then watched her as she came back to Glenoaks this year, and I went, how has she not been picked up? Like, she's scintillating in the midfield. I mean, so I don't know. It's just I almost kind of get this. It's kind of got to the point where the under 18, the 18-year-olds and the draft picks are kind of where a lot of clubs are going, because once you kind of you're hit the scrap heap of players, there's no way you can come back, which I think is a travesty, because I think sometimes you'll find
absolute
diamonds in the rough. And I think she would be fantastic for a Dougie's team that I think needs some help around oh my God, Ellie Blackburn. I was like, total brain, just totally lost everything.
Yeah,
I'm
I
like,
mean,
GW, if you could get her up to Sydney, I think GWS needs some depth behind Alice Parker. So it's like, I'm with you. I'm sitting here looking at these lists going, man, a up and under midfielder that's gritty, that's get the footy, that gets out, that could find her hand, it can find hands and moves around the ground really well. It's a perfect addition for several of the teams at the bottom. So I will echo you there. I think Jess Bates is a magnificent player. Yeah, I hope so. I will cross my fingers that maybe she finds a way onto an AFLW list soon.
I just think that speaks a little bit about teams that are down the bottom of the ladder, and not picking Jess Bates might be why they're down the bottom of the ladder.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll not disagree with you on that one. So all right. So we're gonna do one thing. We're gonna do one thing. I know that Norwood Oval is a fantastic ground, but we're gonna take it out of the sandfall for just a second. Where's your favorite road game to play at? Where the favorite ground to go on the road and play?
Glenelg, probably. Yeah, it's a really fun stadium to go to as well. I really like that. It's always a good atmosphere there. And yeah, I think outside of ours, I would say that's my next favorite ground to play at.
Fantastic, fantastic. And then I gotta ask this. I didn't put it on there. Another question without notice. How fun is it to be able to go to work with Allie and as the development head coach and you as the head coach? How much fun is it? Is there ever any fun tension between the two, knowing that you're both head coaches and you both kind of know what you want, but you have to work together when it comes to development and senior coach?
Yeah, we work great together. We've both got a really clear vision that we're driving towards. And to be honest, if she wasn't doing it, I'd probably question whether I could, just with the time. And like, it's basically another full-time job. I love it and I wouldn't change it. I mean, we probably, we debate things. I wouldn't say we argue, but we certainly debate and don't always agree, but that's the best thing. Like, if everyone in your coach's box and in the coaching group agrees with you, you're not ever going to be challenged or forced to see things in a different light. So no, absolutely. And we do a lot of it together. It's probably our lives. And I actually said to her over the Easter break, it was actually good to have a wife and not a colleague, where we didn't just look into footy, and we get to do the same again this week. Like, we don't go back to the club now. It's Wednesday night now. We don't go back till Monday, which is really good. So we've got that 4-day period where gather around here. So I think our liver might cough a little bit of a hammering over the next 4 days, but no, it's really good. And I think sign gather around up here for the rest of its existence, because we did a great job of it the first time, and yeah, I think we'll do an amazing job again. But yeah, to go back to the question, yeah, I love it. I love the ability to be able to share something and a club that we're both so passionate about together. And yeah, it certainly has its massive advantages.
Yeah, that's great to hear. So actually, speaking of gather around, I knew I wanted to ask a question about this. How many games are you going to go see? I know you're going to go see your beloved Crows tomorrow. How many games are you guys going to be able to make it to?
I think 7. So I think we'll go to all except for the Mount Barker games. We're actually going to lunch with the Norwood Footy Club on Friday at a pub not far from Norwood Oval, and they've got Lee Matthews and Malcolm Blight speaking there, and that'll be pretty cool. And then we'll go into that game. So sorry, 6, because we're not going to go to the Port game. We're both doing a coaching course the next day, so we thought probably a bit better to get it to bed a bit earlier. We're going to be in the city again at 8:30 on Sunday morning, and then we'll go to the double header there. So sorry, it's 6 out of the 9 we'll head along to.
Yeah, that's still pretty impressive. Like, I can't wait to see the pictures. Playing and enjoy. I wish I could be in Adelaide right now. Unfortunately, just a little bit difficult to get over there right now. So, but all right. So we'll go to your fan. We've talked coaching. We've talked your love of Norwood. Let's put the fan hat on for just a little bit. Cause as I told people, I have never been to Australia. It is my goal, hopefully soon, crossing my fingers if everything works out well. So I want to be prepared when I go to the footy that I have the best possible experience. So as Americans, we love our food at our sport. So I ask, favorite food at the footy?
That's a tough one. I actually looked at that and I said to Ali this morning, I don't really eat much at the footy. I'll eat before or afterwards, but probably a burger is always pretty good. So burger or hot dog would be the two that I'd go between. Do love a meat pie, but I'd probably pick those two over the top of that. I certainly, if you count beer as a meal, that certainly would fit in. But no, food-wise, it'd be a hot dog or a burger or something along those lines, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The top two so far that I've had are hot chips and the meat pie are the top two right now. And
Ali would have said hot chips.
And hot chips made a huge run. I think I had about seven in a row where hot chips was the answer to that question. So it's always been very, very fun to hear everybody's differences. And I know that the Adelaide Oval, from what I hear, has some really good food trucks and different things like that around the hill, which is fantastic to hear.
Yeah,
in some places, I know that somebody said the MCG is starting to get some different varieties. So it's not just the sports; it's the nachos, the pizzas, the burgers, the hot dogs, the hot chips, the meat pies. It's there's a few variety, which I think is awesome to kind of open up the palate on that one. So,
yeah,
when you go to say the Adelaide Oval, where is your favorite spot to sit? Like, if you the ultimate place to sit to watch the footy.
I mean, we're pretty lucky when we moved from Amy Stadium to Adelaide Oval. One of my best mates had tickets in the front row and we just said, oh, can we link these up together, whatever, wherever they need to come back to us, whatever. And we can sit in the front row there in the old Eddie Betts pocket. And I'd be saying that's absolutely where I love watching footy from. Yeah. I mean, you don't see as much as a coach, but I just, the atmosphere and being there and seeing Eddie Betts kick goal of the year in right in front of us, pretty cool. And Isaac Rankin kicked a ridiculous goal from the boundary against Geelong the other week. I mean, the game was over. It would have been nice if it was a bit closer when he kicked it. But no, I love sitting there and get to see Taylor Walker do some pretty impressive things down that end of the ground as well.
Yeah, it's hard not to argue right there on the ground, be absolutely scintillating, especially there.
Yeah.
And as you said, being able to watch Eddie Betts and do some absolute magicianry there, that's insane. So we'll test you. I know as a huge footy fan, I must ask this. I always end my episodes with this. Favorite game of footy you have ever seen, live, on the television, at the ground, doesn't matter. Favorite game of footy you have ever seen.
I'd probably have to go to. It's like splitting the favorite children again. The Crows game in 2015, they played an elimination final against the Western Bulldogs the year that Phil Walsh died, and just the culmination of all the emotions for them to win a final that year, and Taylor Walker pretty much just, as captain said, jump on my back and I'll carry over the line. That was an amazing game, and I just remember the high scoring nature. Both teams kicked over 100 points. It was an awesome spectacle of footy. And then the 2022 Nord Premiership, men's premiership, was pretty special. Like it just felt like all day, sort of like the, if we pinched the Eagles game the other day, North were on top all day, and just some absolute magic from Matt Panos that, like I said before, not too many people could do what he did to kick that goal off his non-preferred foot around his body and win him a grand final. It'd be a toss of the coin between those two.
Fantastic. I love hearing even the state league ones when they're at the top. That's absolutely magnificent. Mm-hmm. Well, Brad, that is it for everything that I have. This has been a fantastic chat. I know we've went back and forth after Ali kind of introduced us on one of our coaching chats that her and I have had before, and it was absolutely magnificent to be able to sit down and to sit down and chat with you. And again, I love what you're doing at Norwood. It's been fantastic. Again, the soft spot because of Ali has been so much fun to watch your girls grow this year. And again, I wish you all the best this season. And thank you very much for hopping on the podcast.
No, no worries. Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Awesome. So ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this episode of Donnie's Disposals. Again, keep an eye out for AFL, CFL Waffle, and VFL coverage still to come. And you know, when we get to the women's season, AFLW coverage as well. Thank you so much for listening. That has been another episode, and we'll be back with more footy very, very soon.